Today on Real Radio.
We have all received the mercy of God. Amen. And the more you, through life circumstances, through what's going on in this world, and you're focusing on the God's message to you, the Bible, you begin to revel in God's mercy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the first two verses of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes that the believer is not to lose heart, and also never is to change or tamper with God's written word. It's a lesson in accepting whatever our good Lord puts in our path. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called Heart Check.
But the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son, that Jesus died on the cross to rescue us out of this sin grip. And listen, the best of all is the benefits are for us that he broke the grave. He shattered death. The gospel, all done by God, empowered by God, wrought by God's grace. It's awesome to think. And Paul says, therefore, since we have this kind of ministry, we can sneak ahead for a moment. Look at verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I love that verse. I quote it as often as I can. We have this treasure. What treasure? This kind of ministry, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God did it all, church. God did it. What do I have to do to be saved? Believe in Jesus. Well, anybody can do that. That's right. Do it. That's why the gospel in some ways is offensive to people. It doesn't stroke your ego. It doesn't do anything for your performance. It doesn't do anything for your agenda. Well, for that matter, a child can believe. Amen. Isn't it funny? The older we get, the harder it becomes for us to believe. Because we become less like a child. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure, what is that? The power of God to restore and redeem and recreate and remake a life. The gospel message. This earthen vessel, notice the humility and the fragility of it, and the fact that the gospel of God is eternal and he's housed it inside of you and I, our earthly bodies. That's what the earthly vessel is, our earthly bodies. That you and I would walk around this world being paraded, as it were, by the Holy Spirit in front of a lost world, in and out of all of the things that you and I come in contact with in our world, with this intent. God says, I want to take these earthen vessels. My Holy Spirit dwells within them. They have the gospel, and I want to live it out of their lives. Lights and shining armor you are to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, there's a mission for you as a Christian. There's never a moment when there's not a mission going on in your life. Well, I'm going to sign up for a missions trip. You're on a mission trip. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one, that is the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, that is the church, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of the one, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, is Almighty God, if you haven't caught on to that yet. The Bible teaches us, I love this, you've heard this before, I just love talking about it. And by the way, I'm going to give you, if you don't know the answer, most of you do, remember this answer that I'm about to give you, because you can go to seminary, you can go to Christian colleges or universities, and you may never get the answer to this question. That's kind of sad, but here it is. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, that is the moment that you're born again. What does born again mean? It means that you've called out to God in faith, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Have you ever moved inside of a house, moved inside of a building? Right now, by the way, you have officially taken possession of this sanctuary. Why? How? You came inside. You are the church. The Holy Spirit moves inside. of you, and he takes possession of you, and all the way out to the tips of your fingers and the end of your toes and the top of your head is his possession. Okay? In that moment of being born again, in John chapter 20, here it is. You'll ask this question. When was the first person, or when did ever being born again ever happen? Because we know theologically it had to happen after the resurrection of Jesus. And we have to know this from Scripture, that it couldn't happen unless the Holy Spirit is placed inside of you. So the great question is, when were the disciples ever born again? They didn't start out being born again, but in John chapter 20, they done got born again. Well, where's that at? John 20, verse 21. And Jesus said to them, this is post-resurrection, pre-ascension, Jesus says, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There's no tongues, there's no healing miracles, there's none of that stuff. Why? It has nothing to do with that stuff. The Holy Spirit moved inside of them, taking possession of them. And in that moment, those disciples were the first ones born again because the Holy Spirit was deposited by God himself. The Bible tells us that that spiritual DNA is something that you and I must experience and must encounter in our experience with God. If we're going to check our hearts to see if we're really believers, have we encountered God? And this is one of the great things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's freakish. Ephesians 1, 12. God is glorified, going to be glorified, and forever will be glorified in eternity by what he's done in our lives. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing to me. What's your future look like? According to Ephesians 1:12, really good. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, what is it? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also having believed, note these words, verse 12, trusted in Christ. Verse 13, trusted. Then believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, we would use the word today, down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What does that mean? That means right now, listen, until Jesus Christ comes back, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside you, the believer, oh, listen, cheer up. I don't know if you're down this morning. Are you a little bit bummed out? Listen to this. If you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he has sealed you with this. The word means the seal cannot be broken. Did you hear that? The seal cannot be broken. What is that seal? That God has set his seal on you to complete his redemptive work. What is that redemptive work? To present you before the Father faultless, without blame, in his presence in glory. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he does like it when you read the Bible, because that gives him more opportunity to bring forth the truth of God out in your life, because he's in you right now. Think of it. He's in you right now going like this. All right, eat some Bible. Come on, eat some Bible. Eat some Bible. Why? Because I want to throw up the Bible back on you. I'm inside of you, and I want to have it in you. And I want to take it, and I am, and this is how he does it. You all know this. This is when he does it. When you see this, or when you hear that, or when you're thinking this, or when you're praying, or when somebody talks to you, or whatever it may be, I'm going to grab it, and I'm going to put it right up there back behind your eyeballs. I'm going to put it in your head. It's got to be in your heart. You take in the word of God. You just don't read the Bible like a newspaper. You are to soak in it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to use that, and he presents it on the screen of your thinking. And you can experience God in every situation. When we are pulled away from the things of God and tempted and brought into sin or unrighteousness, what's happened? We have allowed other things to be portrayed or shot up onto that screen. And we are to wrestle those things. Why? Because we've encountered God. We know that there's a fight. And that's a very encouraging thing. Have I encountered God? And he says, since we have this ministry. What an awesome statement. Ministry. We get the word deacon from this word in the Greek. It means to serve one another. You see, yeah, who's Paul talking to? Every believer in Corinth. Every one of them. You know, Pastor, isn't he talking about you guys? You know, you like staff people? No. We're included in the group because we're all a bunch of sheeps. Aren't we a bunch of sheep? It applies to all of us. God is saying in the Bible, you have a ministry. Do you have kids? You have a husband? You have a wife? You have a mom, dad, neighbors, co-workers? Ministry. Is this encouraging? The next thing is also in verse 1 that we understand this. Regarding the experience, have you understood it? Have you understood the great and a wonderful thing that God has ordained your life to do and to be? It says, as we have received mercy, please underline that, as we have, it's in the past tense, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. This is amazing. Because church, without life's experiences, I will not appreciate the mercy of God. I'd never thought that a meteor flying by would do so much damage. I just thought it'd look cool in the sky. I never appreciated it. And now I realize, thank you, God, for being merciful to Southern California and not sending that fireball over our house. I didn't think that until I saw it. And many times you and I don't think things aright unless we experience it. And Christian, you, today, we have all experienced God's mercy. Mercy is not getting what we're supposed to get for all of our wrongdoing. Mercy's not getting. God, think of it. It's as though God had a brick to throw at us, but he doesn't throw the brick at us. Instead, he throws a Hostess Twinkie, if they still made those, or a muffin, I don't know. Something cool, all right. One is mercy, he doesn't do it. The other one's grace, and he gives you something sweet. We have all received the mercy of God. Amen. And the more you, through life circumstances, through what's going on in this world, and you're focusing on God's message to you, the Bible, you begin to revel in God's mercy. How many times do we read the psalmist, who really experienced life, say, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Amen? Amen. Do you need God's mercy? Okay, that's pathetic. Let's pretend you do, hello, and say yes. Do you need God's mercy? Yes! Amen. See how few of us appreciate that? Think of it. Mercy. What if God was not merciful and rewarded you for yesterday? What happened? Just your thoughts, motives, intent, actions. I don't know. Just one day. He's merciful. And Paul is saying, listen, do we understand that God has given us a ministry of mercy? No Christian should walk around judging other people. The Bible does that. We are to be merciful, gracious, and kind. Listen, I'm not saying, don't read me wrong. Don't say tolerant and turn a blind eye to someone living in a terrible life. Sin setting where they're destroying their lives. If your son's doing drugs, you don't say, well, I'm a tolerant person. It's okay, you know, I'll pray for him. You can use all the Christianese stuff and all the Bible stuff you want. If your son is doing drugs, for example, and you think you are tolerant by letting him continue that, you don't even know. You're patting him on the back as he kills himself. Love reaches in. Why? Because it's merciful. You love someone you cannot tolerate. You're not judging them. You're not condemning them. You love them and you're going after them. God would have us, because we've experienced mercy, to go after this world and show them mercy. Look, church, the world doesn't see any mercy anymore. This is a great hour to be a Christian. Oh, it's so dark. It's so wicked out there. It's so perfect for us who are Christians. It's time to shine. Do we understand that? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Here's the punchline. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, that's awesome. Paul had an amazing attitude about ministry, the Christian life, that is, and about serving others. Paul saw everything he did in response to the goodness of God in his life. Paul didn't do what he did because, well, I saw a bright light on the Damascus Road. It scared me. And, you know, everybody's expecting some great stuff to come out of me, so I guess I better do something great. And I was called an apostle, so I got to live up to that. That's wrong, and that's not his heart. Well, I guess I shouldn't go do that LSD today. I'm a Christian. Well, I guess I shouldn't sleep with her. I'm a Christian. My dear friend, if that's where your heart is, you will eventually fall to those very things because your whole understanding of that is skewed and goofy. You see, if you experience the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with him, it won't be like that. Oh, we can't do that. We're Christians. What does that imply? Well, if we weren't Christians, we'd go do it. And if you understood, you wouldn't want it. Jesus said, freely you've received. Freely give it. God shows us mercy, and then we're going to, what, turn around and sell it to somebody? Scalpers, Christian scalpers. Nope, not going to happen. We are to be showing. And you think, you look inside your own heart right now, you do a heart check and ask yourself, is there something of God boiling up inside of me? I mean that in a good way. It's percolating, that's got to come out. Listen, I don't want to go too far off the thing right now, but I think it's justifiable. A lot of talk these days, although it's diminishing, they're running out of steam now, the movement of social justice. You don't hear much about it anymore. I mean, you heard a lot about it for a while. Social justice. See, Pastor, are you saying that you're not for social justice? I am not for social justice as this world defines it. No, no. I am for social grace and mercy as God puts it. Big difference. The reason why the world talks about social justice, in my opinion, is because the church has been sleeping at the wheel. We should be putting the social justice movement to shame. The social justice movement should not be feeding the homeless. The church should be. The social justice movement should not be championing, for example, civil rights. The church should be. Do you hear me? I'm not asking you to agree. I don't care. I'm right on this. Why? I know I'm right on this because it's a biblical deal. Jesus said, freely you've received, go give it. And because it's not happening, in a sense, globally, the world understands something good and they get up and they go do it. We've got the one and only true reason why we should do it. And we often sleep at the wheel. It's an amazing thing. Number two, point two today, second point is a heart check. Verse two is the motive. Not only the experience, but the motive. The motive. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. This is technically a response, by the way, of those who were attacking Paul. He was refuting their attack on him, that he was a charlatan, that Paul was adulterating the gospel. Paul was saying you can be saved by just trusting in Jesus. They mocked the gospel. They were called the Judaizers. And listen, if there was ever a secret weapon that the Apostle Paul had, and by the way, it's available to us, please listen, it is this. It's verse 2. The power of being able, church, listen, this is key. The power to be able to say, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. I honestly don't know how far I'm going to go in the rest of this message right now with time permitting because of the magnitude of that statement right now. I believe there are a lot of potentially great Christian men and women. I say potentially great because they're Christians, but they are bound and tied by the lust or by the dangers or by the things of this world that keep them pulled down. And they're ashamed. They're ashamed because there's shame in their lives. And the greater shame is most often the things that are the most secret and dark, right? And I'm not here to point you out. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to scold you. I wouldn't do that. What I am here to tell you about is, guess what? By the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit, those things can be shattered in your life. What is it that holds you down? What is it that you're addicted to? What is it that binds you up? What is it of your past or your present and the fear that it may be your future that keeps you choked? God breaks all that. He loves doing it. And Paul's great secret weapon was that he saw that whatever was in his life before has been completely obliterated. You say, yeah, I'd like to know how he did that. I'll give you one guess. He let God do it in his life. He let him do it. He didn't reform himself. He yielded to the reformer. Note this, transformation. Verse 2 teaches us about a transformation. The heart check motive is there a transformation that's gone on in our lives? But we have, can you circle the word have? See, what's so important about that? It's important. It means it's history. We have a history. It's no longer the present. What is it? We've renounced the hidden things of shame. We've been transformed. We've got different desires now. We've got different longings. What does that mean? It means this. This is fun. Watch this. It means that Paul the Apostle refused himself, denied himself, would not allow himself to go to those places in his mind, in his feet, in his hands. He renounced the things of his past. Now, what's amazing about Paul is that he wouldn't allow himself to do the things of the past. What was it for Paul? I think it's pretty clear that what we see in Scripture regarding Paul is that he did not go back to the ways of the law. See, you might have been thinking, you mean he renounced from going to Joe's Bar and Grill to get a beer with his falafel? Nope. I don't think so. For I think Paul's big temptation was to go legal, real quick. I think Paul's temptation was to gravitate back to the performance of the law, to just be good enough, to just live your life straight enough, and God will be happy. I think that was Paul's temptation. That's where he came from, legalism. And he says, I've renounced those things. What is it in your life? Listen, I know what it is in my life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Heart Check, taken from the first two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Heart Check, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, since it is Monday, a reminder that you can catch our weekly television program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, Real Life with jackhibbs.org. You'll oftentimes see Pastor Jack engage in some informative conversations and interviews, looking at topics like Scripture, of course, evangelism, apologetics, faith and politics, family and marriage, history, and we're talking about the proper view of history, by the way, and a whole lot more, all centered around the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And, of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And, of course, it's right there you'll find all the links to just about anything that's related to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit when you get a chance. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.